Hey guys, this is John Henson. I want to welcome into our podcast all the listeners on Apple and Spotify. I encourage everyone to check us out on YouTube as well. Today, we've got basketball analyst and co-founder of the Field of 68, Jeff Goodman, on the share and set the record straight on his fitness for UNC basketball and his confidence in Malone, the hiring process, the roster, and all things UNC in Chapel Hill. Welcome, this is Tar Heel 24-7, a UNC basketball podcast. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to the Tar Heel 24-7 channel on YouTube and on podcasts, and on Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, we are on. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Jeff Goodman, veteran college basketball insider, over 30 years, worked at Fox, ESPN, CBS Sports, Stadium, co-founder of the Field of 68, which is how I kind of got my start and college basketball. Appreciate that. So how are things going? Talk to me about a summer for Jeff Goodman in this era of college basketball.
It sucks. Yeah. It sucks, Henson. It's not like the days when, you know, you were at Carolina and after the season, I could just kind of relax a little bit, right? I knew the roster. You know, you knew like some guys were leaving, doing one and done, whatever. But like the brunt of the roster was the same. Now, man, you know, you got to be on top of it because obviously there's so much roster movement. Mm-hmm. So you're dealing with that into May. Even now with all these kids trying to get lawsuit, you know, getting cleared through, you know, judges and lawsuits, we don't know what August is going to look like. And then you're trying to like go through the rosters and get up to speed on a lot of these teams because frankly, again, it happens. So much happens so quick. Like I know Duke and Carolina's, but some of those other rosters that are like, you know, top 50-ish teams, you're trying to go through and be like, oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, he committed there, he transferred there, whatever.
Yep.
So it is it's a mess in the offseason. It's a shit show.
Yeah. I look at guys, I'm like, well, he was there, and he was even coaches, kind of the carousel has gotten even more crazy. So look, this Tar Heel podcast.
Yep.
You've kind of been like a Tar Heel UNC enigma for the fans. I was Googling today.
Yeah.
This article saying, shut up, Jeff Goodman, 2009, where you're talking about Ty Lawson in the toe, saying Tyler Hebdo will never sit out. It's 2015, true. You got an article saying, hey, look, will UNC ever be good again? They won the championship after that. So, look, let's set the record straight. How do you feel about Tar Heel, the UNC as a whole? Right, let's just say right now, the last 4 or 5 years, where are we at as a program to you as a, you know, one of the top college basketball kind of insider analyst guys in the field?
I didn't love the Hubert Davis hire. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I think at the time I said I would have went Wes Miller. And again, looking back, hey, Wes didn't get it done at Cincy. So, like, it might not have gotten done at Carolina. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't sold Hubert was the right guy. And I feel like, again, the family, well, finally, Carolina has done, you know, what I think schools need to do, which is unless there's somebody that's such a slam dunk within the family, go get the best person available. Who the hell cares about the family anymore? Like, Michael Malone can bring the family together. It's not like he can't do that by getting everybody back. And you and I have talked about this. He's done a good job already, probably a better job than Hubert did as somebody that was a member of the family. So, you know, I think Carolina, you know, to me, I still consider it as one of the top 3-5 jobs in America. You know, you can make a case. It could get to be number one again. But I think it's fallen a little bit, obviously, from the last few years and, you know, the ups and downs, the roller coaster ride that Carolina fans were on with Hubert Davis and not getting – it's funny. So I'm at the Peach Jam, Henson. And one of the things that I really noticed when Hubert was the head coach, he was rarely in the same gym as John Shire recruiting. And now you look and you're like, Michael Malone, wherever Shire is, Malone is there. And I like that. I like that. I want to see that from Carolina. I want to see them fighting Duke for the top players, fighting, you know, whoever it is for those top guys, rather than just saying, you know what, now we're going to settle.
You know, when I was being recruited, when I I committed to Carolina. Nobody really knows. I'm glad you said something. Duke sent Johnny Dawkins to my school. Sent him to the school and jumped into recruiting out of the blue. And obviously, you know, I wasn't going to go there per se, but I mean, literally, Johnny Dawkins walks in the gym like, hey, what's up, man? You know, just stopping through. Like, you maybe that got me excited. So good to see some of that kind of rivalry back with Coach Malone. I like how he's kind of sitting around, snooping around, seeing what they're looking at. Because that's how it used to be, I personally think.
Harrison, it should be. It's how it should be.
Leslie McDonald went to Duke and Carolina, visits the same weekend. So that's so
back before your day. Hey, back before your day, there was a kid named Shavlik Randolph.
Oh no, Shav.
Remember?
Yeah, Shav. Yep.
And he was like the big recruit. It was like Duke, Carolina, NC State. And it was kind of when I broke in, maybe a little bit later. And it was like all the rage. Like everybody was, where's Shavlik going? And like I want some of that again. And I know the times have changed where now it's not about freshmen. Unless they're elite, but elite freshmen, Carolina should be trying. Or if there is a program changing freshman, they should absolutely be involved with that guy. And now they've got a coach that is an MF-er of a worker, a complete killer of a worker in Michael Malone, and a coach who has a NBA championship ring. So, what are the things you want to sell to these kids these days? Well, money. Yeah. That's one. If you don't have money, I don't care what else you have. You can't get involved. Doesn't matter who you are. Number two, what do kids want? To get to the league. Yeah. Well, this guy has coached maybe the best player in the world, and he coached him to an NBA title. So, like, you have everything you need, and you have a coach who's willing to work. Like, a lot of these former NBA guys, you know me. Yeah. What have I said about them? They're lazy. They're lazy. Most of them former players, though, that have $100 million in their bank account.
Yeah,
like Michael Malone is different. He's different than Mike Woodson, in my opinion. Mike Woodson came in and wanted to golf every day at Indiana, and it didn't work because of that. He didn't have that killer work ethic. Michael Malone works like a college coach. He works, from what I'm told, like a Tom Izzo. And if you have that, man, it's going to give you a chance.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of kind of the peace jam and it's the circuit, I was actually in Vegas, the UIBL. Since we're here now, I mean, the CJ Rosser kid, right? What do you think about him, and what do you think about his, you know, I think UNC's a favorite. And like, I guess that's what the people are saying. What do you think about him potentially having an impact at the next level as a freshman? And what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I don't love it. I don't love it. I saw him at the top 100 camp, and I was like, he's good, but like number one player in the class, number two player in the
class. Shoots a lot of jumpers.
What's that?
Shoots a lot of jump shots.
He's soft. He's a little soft, like to me. Mm. And again, talented, looks the part, right? He'll probably be a top 10 pick because, again, I think his upside is there. But I wouldn't be paying a kid like that $3 million. No way. Give me a transfer. Give me a transfer for $3 million that's going to impact, you know, as a wing, you know, forward. I wouldn't pay any of these guys in this class $3, $4, $5 million. I mean, like Tyron Stokes this year probably got $5 million from Kansas. Nobody in this class is worth $5 million as a high school player. Like to me, and I think a lot of, like, I was told by a coach yesterday that like a top 50-ish kid right now is commanding somewhere between like 500 grand and a million. But like the next step is like, okay, top 25 players probably commanding two million, something like that. A top 10 player like Rosser, probably looking at upwards more than $3 million. I would not pay that. I would not pay that.
Yeah, I was kind of talking to coaches, talking to just AAU guys, and a lot of them said, and I you know, this is kind of my first real grassroots kind of journey in the summer. Yeah. They're like, listen, everyone's here to see three guys. Because there's only three guys potentially here that could impact, and then everybody else is just in the database, and you know, we have to just keep them in there because they might go to NC State, and then all of a sudden we, you know, looking for their job, or they look really good, right, and get paid. So how has that changed the landscape of how colleges recruit, even for the kids, right? Is it better to go? You think? I personally, if I would go maybe a notch lower, unless I was a top 10 guy, right, and then I would just kill it and then go get paid.
Put up
numbers. So what do you think about the kind of new process of college basketball with kids and the coaches?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a kid, again, unfortunately, too many kids right now are making decisions based on money rather than fit, right? Like, which I guess you don't blame them. I mean,
it's hard. From an NBA standpoint, and it's a person that was fortunate enough to make some money and play 8 years, 9 years in the NBA. Listen, I don't care how much money you save. $1 million ain't going to last you.
No,
for the rest of your life. Not even close to maybe through your 20s, right? So it just
– Okay, but if you're – okay.
Unless you're getting five a year for the next 3 years, yes. But like
– Right. If you're Caden Daughtry, who had an unbelievable all of July, you're
Shout
a
out Florida Rebels. Shout out Florida Rebels. Florida's
That's right. No, he was awesome. Yeah. I love him. I love him to death. Mm-hmm. He's a 6'1 guard who's not John Wall or Derrick Rose or anything like that, explosiveness, right? Like he may be the number one player in the country for college. If I'm Caden Daughtry, I don't know if I'm going to be an NBA player. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe right. not. So right. I'm going to go out and get – now, again, I'm not saying, hey, if the difference is a couple hundred grand, go to the place that fits you. But if somebody's offering me $6 million and the second highest bidder is $4 million a year, probably going to the $6
million. Yeah. I didn't think about that because for most guys, it's all relative, right? Like a DeBons and a Stokes, right? These guys
It didn't matter.
Yeah. Right. And then, you know, you've got guys that, you know, you play 4 years making $2 million. I mean, it's life-changing and, you know, you have the right folks. And you can just, hey, go play overseas and cruise on out. So,
The kid Milan Muncilovic, right, who went to Kentucky this year, and he's probably getting about $7 million. Well, he could have went back to Iowa State, probably would have made half of that, 3.5. Mm-hmm. Well, he wasn't good enough to get taken in the first round. He'll probably be a guy that maybe can make an NBA roster because of his size and ability to shoot. But, like, if you're him, go get paid, man. Go get paid because you're never going to make – you're potentially never going to make $7 million, probably not, in your life in a year. Probably not.
Yeah, that's mid-level money in the NBA. Like, you're a rotational playing guy. Yeah. So, all right, let's veer back. I'm glad – I just wanted to clear that up. That's good talk. So, we'll get back to, like, Mike Malone, right? You reported that, you know, the administration kind of panicked. Do you think when it's all said and done, it's worked out for UNC, like this is the guy that's going to be the coach that gets us back to prominency, which is just competing for national championships?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I made it no secret. I would have went, you know, they went Dusty May. Obviously, he stayed at Michigan, then went for Dallas to the NBA. Tommy Lloyd stayed at Arizona despite his issues with his AD.
He used us. Tommy Lloyd used us as leverage.
Smiley. Yes and no. Mm-hmm. I'll say this. He interviewed a year ago at another high major.
Okay.
He interviewed a year ago. So there have been some issues with the AD that I think, again, did he use you? Yeah, maybe a little bit for leverage. But I also think it was like, I'm not 1,000% happy where I am. And if it's right for me, I just felt like he's not going across the country. He's always been a West Coast guy. He's not going all the way to North Carolina. Arizona's good enough for him. And he's also a guy who he's built up equity. He's a guy who plays like pickleball every morning. He's got like the Mark Few lifestyle, which is no social media. I do what I want, when I want, how I want. And now he's built up that equity after the Final Four run in Arizona where he can get away with all that. So, like, Carolina, you can't. You cannot get away with that. Yeah. So I would have went – my next deal would have been, for me, I would have got on the plane. And again, we know there were some issues here between Bubba and that group with the search firm and the new guy, Newkirk, right? Like, they operated differently. Right. Mm-hmm. They weren't on the same page. I would have been on the same page. I would have gotten the private plane and I would have went out to Ames, Iowa and said, hey, TJ Otzelberger, you are our guy. Whatever you want, you got it. And I think they might have been able to get him. Had they done that, I think they might have been able to get him. I just would have been more comfortable with a guy who's done an incredible job at Iowa State. Incredible job. Knows the college landscape, culture, built culture, great coach, does it his way. Now, again, does he want the fishbowl of Carolina? Maybe not. But I also don't think it's a fishbowl at Carolina like it is at Kentucky or Kansas or those places. You can go out for dinner, and yeah, some people may come up to you, but it's a different deal than it is the pressure at Kentucky or Kansas and everywhere you go. So I would have went TJ first, and then I made no secret. I would have tried for – and they did try for Billy Donovan. They did. Yeah. They did. They wanted Billy Donovan. But Billy just didn't want to do it, which we see. Mm-hmm. Like he didn't want to go the college route because he could have done it again at Michigan. And instead, he's an assistant with the Spurs. He doesn't want to be in college. So he basically said to Carolina, listen, I'll talk to you when the season's over. I still got 10 games left with the Bulls who sucked, and I'll talk to you. And Carolina read the tea leaves, and they were like, you know what? Like, Billy's not coming. He's not coming, so we're going to move on. We'll go to another guy who's an NBA guy who's out, Michael Malone. So, again, I don't fault him. Donovan, I think they tried for. I do. I think he was ahead of Michael Malone. But I just think they read the tea leaves that Billy was not coming.
Yeah, I if I'm Billy Donovan, I'd go ride the Wimby train until I'm ready to coach, be a head coach again.
He might be the head coach there if Mitch Johnson fails next year and they don't go to the NBA Finals, or at least the West. They don't go to the Western Conference Finals, Henson. Then Mitch Johnson's probably fired, and Billy Donovan's the next head coach.
Yeah. So interesting. Yeah. Very, very interesting. So, what are your thoughts on the staff? You know, they just got Horry Sands from Gonzaga. You know, Chuck from Kentucky. Yeah. Obviously, those guys. So, what are your thoughts about the staff? Which, personally, you know, I love the last previous staff, but I even love this staff even more because you got some sharks on there, in my opinion.
I mean, Chucky's done it a long time, right? Mm-hmm. He's done it a long time. So I think that certainly helps, right? And, you know, he's been a part of a bunch of different staffs, which you needed. You needed a little bit of a, you know, and I love Brad Frederick. I love him. But, like, you probably needed to mix things up a little bit. Right. Mm-hmm. It gotten a little stale. We said that, like, you know, and I think the biggest thing with Sands is his international connections to Spain. That's the biggest. That's how he's going to help him. And that's what you need. Yeah. That's what you need. I've been critical of Jim Tanner, the GM, in some respects, just because I think, first of all, I wouldn't have paid him $1 million a year. Not worth it. Like, dude, you had nothing. You were an NBA agent coming in. You didn't have any college connections. I know it's going to take time. You needed to be able to figure out what's going on with Henry before. And then it became too late. You kind of didn't read it.
Expand on that because, you know, we talked about it on Field 68. Kind of, what are your thoughts kind of on how to sit? Because so you feel like, hey, look, they should have came to Henry like, what are we doing so we can get on a board instead of just kind of letting him run the show? Is that kind of what you were kind of with?
Yeah, it was hard because they couldn't cut him loose because he's making too much money, right? Mm. They signed a deal that, frankly, you're just not going to eat $1 million a year. And I kind of get it, too, if you're Michael Malone. You knew him, I'm sure, you know, from the NBA circles. He had a year to get up to speed, and I do think it takes a year for a lot of these GMs coming, especially from the NBA. I just think it was a real misevaluation. I knew Bassar was gone. I knew he was gone.
Yeah.
100%.
He kind of said, his agent in the media kind of implied, like, look, if we have any shot, like, we're out.
Gone. So you got to know that, and you got to be able to move on quicker. And what they got at the five-man spot, well, I'm sure we'll talk about it, but it's biggest concern. Yeah. And I think it didn't have to be the biggest concern if you knew you were losing Vesar. Like, there were other five men out there that you could have probably gotten that were proven, and that's their biggest deficiency right now looking at this roster.
Which, in college basketball, Coach Williams' philosophy was like, you need two bigs to win. And now, more so than ever, you need two big. I mean, look at Michigan.
It's weird how it's flipped back, huh, Henson?
Yeah, it's flipped back. Right? So, you know, obviously the big man position – is a big place of concern. Yeah. So, but overall, as a roster, everywhere else, the perimeter, what are your thoughts on what Carolina's done on that aspect?
I like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like it. I think Neo's going to have a much better year than he did last year at Virginia Tech. Again, you just had to surround him with the right people, the right talent around him. Like, he just had to do too much, and it resulted in like that's just not his game, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I love him. He's 6'8", 6'9". He could pass the ball. Not a great shooter, but he was taking a lot of bad shots, frankly.
He had to. When I watched the game, it was kind of like when I remember the NC State game, and you know, they would go on a drought, and they just kind of say, hey, look, save us, and that's just not his game, even though he's really good, though.
Yep. Yeah, so like him, he'll take a big jump. And it was an adjustment coming over first year or two from overseas. Good thing is he got coached. Mike Young's one of the best coaches around, so, like, he'll be good for that. Matt Abel, you know, a guy who can shoot the hell out of the ball. I remember talking to Will Wade before last season. He was like, no way he's here for 2 years. No way he's in college. Like, he's gone. He'll be an NBA player.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be much better this year. Terrence Brown's kind of an X factor type guy for me.
Yeah.
I know you love him. You know,
I love him.
He did dinner. I know. Dinner. Yeah, all you got to do is dinner with Henson, and that's it.
Listen, I saw his mindset. I talked to him. We were at the Wynn. I talked to him for a little bit, man, and got to really know him. Good kid, you know. I think he's going to be awesome.
Well, so, I like him for this, too. Here's what I like. I like those guys who have the chip on their shoulder.
Yes.
And he had, and obviously, he was not recruited coming out of high school really at all. What, 2 years at FDU? Mm-hmm. Went to Utah last year and had an unbelievable year individually, but they were atrocious as a team. So it's like, you just sometimes you don't know if they're like empty calorie numbers or not. And going from Utah to Carolina, big, big difference, too, because nobody cares about you. Nobody even paid attention. Nobody knew who he was last year. But I like that. I like the fit of those three guys together, right? I like the size of Neo, the ball handling ability, the passing. Terrence can just go rock, go score, go score, and be a secondary ball handler. Abel's a wing with size who can shoot the hell out of the ball. So I like those three, and then I think Adams can really help them as well. You know, as a freshman that's not going to have too much on his plate, but could evolve into something that's a lot more. But, the perimeter I have no issue with. I think they did a very good job, you know, all things considered, when Malone got the job to be able to get those three. I think it's a win.
Yeah, very true. So, all in all, right, the Malone hire, everything that's going on, you know, we're in the news again. Belichick, Lombardi, the GM fiasco. So, look.
What a horrible hire Belichick was. Like, you got to understand, I'm a Boston guy. I'm a Boston guy. So, I had to deal with Belichick. Like, I covered a bunch of Patriots stuff years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, there was nobody that I disliked covering a press conference more than Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. Like, I just – and then when they hired him at his age, I'm like, what are they doing? I mean, I remember saying that to Bubba. Mm-hmm. I saw him a couple years ago at the it was a Florida-Carolina game in Charlotte. And I went up to him and I said that. I'm like, why? What are you doing? Like, why would you hire this guy? He's however old. I don't know how old he is now.
What did he say?
Yeah, he just kind of smiled and, you know, didn't really give any explanation.
I don't know if Bubba was – spearheading that hire. I'm just going to.
He wasn't. And I think that's why he didn't really say anything. It wasn't his guy.
That's like, my guy too. I love Bubba, man. It's my
Me
guy.
Too. Great dude, Me too. Man. And he's smart. And again, you know, I think these last two hires, his name has not been stamped on either of these last two hires, Belichick and Malone. And Belichick his time has passed. We know that his time has passed. Malone, his time hasn't passed. The question is, can he get enough momentum this year? Can he get enough production out of Kaida or whoever up front? I mean, they may have to go small and play Stevenson at the five.
That's what I thought. I mean, I think they're going to have to probably experiment small and then kind of just try to hold the four down. Thank God you don't have to see, you know, in the ACC, at least those SEC type front lines and
kill.
So, yeah,
Florida
so,
would smash him. Florida would literally Florida, Texas. Yeah, those front lines would crush Carolina right now. But like you said, there aren't too many. That NC State's front line is nothing. You know, like they're not going to be overwhelmed by a lot of them. You're right. And Virginia, yes. Obviously, yeah. Duke, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Louisville, yeah. But Florey's not a guy who's going to put up 20, but he's still a veteran in college basketball. So, it's going to be interesting to see what I think. I think they're going to be top 20-ish and relevant-ish nationally. And then win a game or two in the NCAA tournament this year. And is that good enough? I think for year one of Michael Malone, it'll be good enough for the fans. But at some point, the fans are going to get tired of watching Duke, be always nationally relevant. And it's like Duke's here and Carolina's just been here for the regular season for how long now?
Yeah. And credit to Duke too. I mean, I tell people all the time, as well, Duke puts a lot of resources into their program as well. A lot more than most people think. So it's all relative. You invest in your program, you will be successful. Let's talk about NC State real quick, just kind of to finish off. Let's go, NC State under Justin Gainey. How's that went? What are your thoughts on how his process and what he's got going on?
I wish they spent more money. Like, that's the thing. They saved some money. They got the buyout money from Will Wade, and they didn't have to pay Gainey nearly as much as they would have, like, a Josh Schertz. Like, I thought they were going to go after Schertz full bore and, like, really get it. And they didn't. And, it's one of those things where when somebody completely – Benedict Arnold you, which is basically what Will Wade did to them. What do? You go and you're like, we need one of our own. We can't have this happen again. We got to get one of our own. And I think Gainey is incredible guy. He's paid his dues for a long time. We'll see. I think NC State, though, what they do want is somebody that's an MF-er, somebody that's going to stand up to Duke and Carolina. So that's why they loved Will. I mean, they loved Will. That's what hurt so bad about him leaving was, while he didn't have the year that everybody thought in Raleigh last year, he was the perfect personality for what they wanted. And Gainey is not that. Gainey is much more chill. But again, he's one of their own, and that's what the Cortianis and the Guglia, all those guys wanted at this point in time. Again, I wish they had $15 million. And I think if they did, they'd have a better front court. I like their perimeter as well, but their front court really, really worries me.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Will Wade was getting under the skin.
You were scared. Henson, here's what I always say. It's like, if I'm telling you, who are you scared of? You were scared last year of what Will Wade could do. And it's maybe not what he did last year, what he had the potential to do. Are you scared of what Justin Gainey is going to do at NC State?
Nah, not at the moment. I mean, because Will just has those tentacles. Some guys just have it, right? The gift of gab that can just pull you in and make you believe. And, I mean, he had those guys. I mean, we didn't have Caleb Wilson, but they beat us by 20, which just
– And Will would do anything, as shown now by LSU. Anything he could do and get away with doing. Now, NC State wasn't going to give him the same leeway that – down in Baton Rouge, you can do whatever the hell you want. He was going to push the envelope as far as humanly possible. That's not Justin Gainey.
Is it true that LSU has four rostered guys right now that are like eligible to play? Is that true?
I mean, probably, because NCAA hasn't cleared the international kids yet. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure Rick Stansbury will find a way to get them cleared. Because there's nobody better than Slick Rick about
Slick Rick.
Academic transcripts.
Slick Rick and Will Wade could be like Batman and like Superman. Oh, yeah. I mean, Batman and Superman. Yeah. Like, that's how I feel about those guys. If they get
– No, they'll
they
find a way.
Yeah.
I mean, they got R.G. Lewis down there now. He's on campus. He's ineligible by Charlie Baker's standards, which are, you can't sign a two-way contract. R.J. Lewis signed a two-way contract. He's on campus right now. And I'm sure there'll be a judge in Baton Rouge that clears that kid to play to start the season. And I'm sure Will will play him.
Yeah. All right. Last but not least, so my guy RC, will Wake Forest ever be competitive again in this era of college basketball.
I mean, they got a billionaire, you know, diehard fan in Mitt. Like, so maybe, I mean, he's not going to give Forbes the money anymore. He gave him some pretty good money a couple of years ago, but those days are done for Forbes. I'm told they like their roster this year, but they didn't have money. They didn't have money. And I think it's honestly at a point now where, like, the Jeff Capels at Pitt and Forbes at Wake, it's like, all right, we don't want to buy you out, but we're basically just going to throw you out there, hang you out to dry, not give you the money, and then hopefully you're going to suck and we can, you know, fire you and bring in the next guy and save the money for the next guy.
Yeah.
I don't know who the next guy is. Here's the interesting one for me is going to be, and I don't like this, but I could see it happening. Couldn't you see the next former NBA guy to coach in college, Chris Paul at Wake?
And he's on the circuit. He's coaching, you know, I think that would be I'd be awesome. And I think his reverence and how he carries himself and he doesn't take anything and pushes guys could be perfect. But he's got a lot of money.
Well, that would be the key. That'd be the key. It's like Chris Paul coming in. I will say this. And again, go back to the fact that I have crushed almost every former NBA guy. And I'm not close with Chris Paul at all between us. Like, Chris and I really don't get along, dating back from something 10 years ago with the Donald Sterling situation. He wasn't happy that I quoted him on Donald Sterling after one of his AAU events. So I do think Chris Paul would work his ass off. We've seen it.
Yep.
I do think he'd find a way to bring in a lot of revenue. He'd bring in a lot of money. That he'd have the fan base excited. He can coach. We know he's a great basketball mind. Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't hate it. I don't hate it as much as I hate most former NBA guys coaching in college. How's that?
All right, that's perfect. Look, appreciate you coming on. Also want to say thank you. You're the kind of the guy that got the ball rolling for me in the media space. So
I knew you'd be great. I'll say this, Henson. I knew when we did this at Field of 68, you know, I went through like all the guys that I knew from way back, right? All the kids that I met on the AU circuit when you guys were 15, 16, 17 years old. Went through, made a list. I made a list like who's not playing anymore, whatever, who's going to be great at it. And I was like, man, you will be awesome at this. Your personality, you're so likable. You always were. You're a good bullshitter. You always have been. It helps. It helps. But listen, you prepare. But you work at it too. You work at it more than most, right? Mm-hmm. And it's hard. In college, people don't realize. Like, if you're covering the NBA as a former NBA player, that shit's easy. Yeah. What do? You go in. You got to know 30 teams to start the season. And by like January, you got to know like 10 teams.
And there's still 10
teams that matter.
And there's still guys that I played when I played against that on the same team. So it's pretty easy to just integrate. Yeah.
Yes. College is hard. Like, that's hard work for you. You're out for 10 years. You don't know these names. You're following Carolina and maybe Duke. And that is all you're really watching closely. And so I give you credit, man. You've grinded it out. You've done a great job. Again, you know how much I love you and respect you. And again, it's been cool to see.
Hey, listen, I appreciate you forever. Grateful. Thanks for coming on, taking the time.
Of course.
And you know, obviously, I'll see you soon. So we'll be working together throughout the college basketball season. And for the fans of this pod, we've got a special treat. Use our new code JA60 on the bottom of your screen to get 60% off an annual subscription to Tar Heel 24/7. Don't miss out on the latest team practice and recruiting intel drop daily. You want to hear about the Bill Belichick Lombardi stuff? You can look at that stuff too. I know we're basketball, but I'm gonna be locked in on that. And as always, thank you for watching on YouTube, listening to wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to check out TarHeel247.com for the latest wall-to-wall coverage on Carolina athletics. We'll see you next time.